there are definitely those moments in learning, as we quoted many, many times from Chaim Volozhiner, you have to stop, and you have to, we should really have a kumzitz right now. Ashreinu b'tochokeinu, rochokeinu shebo l'chvoidoi, to be able to embark upon cheskes abatim. Oh, lo yuman ki yisupar, to be able to delve into the sugyas of cheskes abatim. So we're all sitting quiet now, and just savoring the moment. So before we begin Chesed Abatim, we have to make a little bit of an observation in general about general Dinei HaTorah, particularly Dinei Momenus, because Baba Basra, Chesed Abatim is obviously very, very much a chelik of Dinei Momenus for the most part. And we come to the realization, and it's almost it's already referred to in Chazal, in Maseches Chagiga, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chachmosov gave us two Torahs. He gave us the Torah Sheba Chsav and the Torah Sheba Peh. And clearly the two Torahs go hand in hand. They work together. Torah Sheba Tamima, Sheba Nafesh, Tamima. It's only Tamima when the two are working in tandem. But Abba Bichain, there are many Dini HaTorah that are Ruben B'Chsav U'miyutam B'Al Peh. That the whole thrust of an area of Halacha, 90% of it is mamash in the Torah Sheba Chsav. You have like sugyas, halachos tzaras, parshas, psukim after psukim after psukim. Or many dinim of karbonas. The Torah tells us what you do with the karbonas, with the karbon chatas, with the karbon oshim, with the karbon shlom. The Torah tells us mamash the details what to do. I got this plenty of Torah Sheba Chsav in that also, but it's really befeirish. But the parshas are there right in front of your eyes in the Torah Sheba Chsav. Then you have other areas where there are psukim, and there are psukim mefurashim about certain yesodos in a certain area of halacha, but there is so much more behind the scenes, like the Gemara Maseches Chagiga speaks about, like the Chashabbos, like the Haram, like Luim B'Sa'ara. The Torah says L'Sasakam Halacha. The Torah says Blachas Machshavos, but there's 157 blad of Maseches Shabbos that try to be Magdu, Vusmein Blachas Machshavos. Then you have other areas of Torah where either there's mamish, literally no psukim to it, or you have to mamish break your head and break your teeth and try to find out where in the world does this come from in terms of Torah Sheba Chsav. And it's such a, no pun intended, basically it's such a chiddush, an eye-opener to look at psukim in a certain manner, a certain way. There's certain yesodos behind the psukim are not even talking about this topic. And somehow the return and even Makamakoshim Makamach, we're able to somehow extrapolate and find Dini HaTorah from left field that can shed light on our discussion. That's like a whole new darga. So I always felt that even though the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Baba Kama that Baba Kama Mitzvah of Asra, the days of Chazal were really Kulachad Masechta. It was Maseches Nezikin, it just got too long. No one was able to finish 400 plus blot in any given Zman, so they had Rachmanis. So Chazal split up the three Bavas. So the three babas are not just arbitrarily split up, but there are patterns, there are themes, for the most part, in the division. And I think one of the nekudas that's very, very clear as you learn the babas is that we always move from one area of Torah Sheba Chsav, Torah Sheba Peh, to another. Baba Kama is a lot of psukim. Especially the early problem of Baba Kama, so much of Baba Kama revolves around psukim of Rosh Hashanah Torah. Torah speaks about Karen, speaks about Shein, speaks about Regal, speaks about Eish, speaks about Mamazik, about Bor. And even the later Prochlas speak about Geneva and Gazela, the Torah says Dal Dehe, and the Torah says Kefel, the Torah says Gazela and Geneva. You know, Ruba de Ruba de Ruba of it. Again, there's a lot of Torah Sheba Peh, 119 Vladim of Bukama, and only a handful of Psukim, but still, the Rashi Prochlas are definitely there. If a guy just learns Pashmash Pratim well, he has a pretty good idea of Shor HaMazik, and other Mazik, a board, he's got the basic topics down pat. He needs a lot of elaboration. He doesn't know where the Paganiska Knossa Mamayna, and he doesn't know what's the din of Tzoros, he doesn't know what the din is of Shem Shisrabim, and he's got a lot of work to do, but in terms of the basic tzuras there in the Torah Sheba Chsav. You move into Bava Metzia, so it starts to get a little bit hazier. Yeah, there are psukim in Bar Mitzvah, you know. Asher Yom HaKihu Zeh, it's the mokor for, you know, Medivah Mikzas and, you know, and Shuas and that kind of stuff. I mean, you may have missed it when you were hearing Kriyas HaTorah, Pashas Mishpatim. You know, you may not have seen the whole thing. Yeah, the Torah does speak a little bit, similar of Neshech, gives you an Isra of Ribbis, then you got a 20 blot about what is Ribbis, what's not Ribbis. Yeah, the Torah does speak in the Torah Shemassah specifically about Mechiras, but all of a sudden the fourth parak of Babetziah comes to life as Zov. So it's rooted in Torah Shemassah. There are psukim that we can pin down that are talking about this topic, but there's a lot of Torah Shemappah elaborating. Much, much more Torah Shemappah than in Bava Kama. Then you enter Bava Basra. Enter Bava Basra, and there are no psukim in Bava Basra. We spent 4 months talking about everything under the sun, about dinim deraisas, migos and chazokas, v'shteit rov in the Torah. The one place the Torah is speaking out rov is not doing dinim amnes. It's talking about a rov dayanim, from the fact that the pasha rov dayanim that teaches us as a concept called the rov, all of a sudden we got steers and roves. One rove is saying you do collect the money, amigo, amigo against the shrach and the other by moi. One rove in this way, one rove another way. V'shteit and pashas b'shvat, any of this. The Torah drops a hint and says there's a din of matzach levaraya, and it may not even say it. Lam lekros varo. We just figured it out. There's a din of matzach levaraya, and there's a din of rov. Ooh, we got roves against this, that. Hezekriyas? Is it a Hezekriyas? The Torah doesn't even speak about Hezekriyah. Mechitza Kerish Nifritza. Pina de Garmi. It's really Baba Kama Sugi, but for our purposes, I mean, this Geshchenim, remember, who remembers the Yeshivas and the Reb Chaim and the Reb Chaber? This Geshchenim is what the Torah doesn't talk about. Everything above Bava Basra is what the Torah doesn't talk about. Whatever doesn't appear explicit in Torah Shmosav makes its way into 176 plot of Bava Basra. So you have to have a za'am, because you have such a havana satorah. First you got to learn through Bava Kama and get the Torah Shemachsav down pat. Then you got to learn Bava Metzia and figure out the explicit Torah Shemachsav / the Torah Shemachsav. And then you end up with Bava Basra. Because here you're entering into a world where you're not even anchored with psukim. You have to figure out, you have to break your teeth to figure out what din ha-Torah does exist in between the lines that's going to impact on what we're about to talk about. So this introduction is exactly what happens at the beginning of the third Pekah of Basra. The Mishnah starts talking about the following. It's a whole Mishnah. A long Megillah in the Mishnah. Cheskes Abatim, Beiris, Vashich, Vavoris. Wow. A whole din Torah. I claim this house is mine and you claim the house is yours. I claim this boar is mine. I claim this field is mine. You claim it's yours. Well, let's open up a Chumash and try to figure out what to do. Okay. Precious. Nowhere does the Torah say, what do you do? And Reuven says, this is my house. And Shimon says, this house. We v'shteit hazo, what do you do? How would you even begin to know what to do in such a case? But we have the new Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu built everything into the system to figure out what to do. But we got a mamish naka heads against the wall to figure out where we even begin to go. So we have an opening din Torah. Cheskes Abatim. I claim this house is mine. You claim the house is yours. Now what? Where do you go from here? So what's the first thing we should do before we even open up the parak? What's the first thing we should do? Let's go back to the things that we know about the Dinim Amnes. What? A Moskva Varaya. Right? That's the best thing to start with, right? It's my word against yours. And again, if I have Adim supporting my claim, then it's not a Din Torah. So it's my word against yours. A Moskva Varaya. Great. Who's the Mukhsuk? I know what muhsik means. I'm muhsik on this tie. I'm muhsik. Well, today I'm muhsik. I'm muhsik in my gemara. I'm muhsik in the house that I'm living in. Not really. I'm not holding on to it. I'm living in it. It's not in me. I'm in it. So is that muhsik? So the assumption of the entire parak, even though Chazal never bothered telling it to us, but it's muvan me'elav, is that that's not called muhsik. Just the fact that you are living in the house is not called muhsuk. You know what my greatest raya is? Otherwise, why are we spending our time learning about Chaskas Gibboshanim? If there's a din Torah, Reuben says it's his, Shimon says it's his, Reuben's living in the house, Reuben gets it. So it's clear as day from the entire parak that there's no such thing as muhsuk by karka. So the one cloud that we had, the one thing we were going on from Vavakama days, from the fifth parak, Menoham Milsa Derabon, Matzachav Lavaraya, the Lamli Kras Svaru, or the Pasuk, or the Svar, whatever you think the answer, the Maskaras HaGemara was, the one cloud that's been helping us for 238 blot of Vavakama and Vavatsia, of a Matzachav Lavaraya, has now failed us miserably. We opened up Chesed Abatim. So you don't have Musa. So what do we have? What's the next best thing? So we know this already. What do you do when you don't have, when you have a Din Torah? What do you do in a Din Torah when Muchzuk doesn't play a role? What's the next thing you look for? What's the next best thing after Muchzuk fails?
Keskes
Barakama. Now, how do I know that that even exists? Before I opened up a Babasra, who told me that there's even such a thing called Keskes Barakama? Keskes Barakama means nobody's Muchzuk, because Muchzukos doesn't speak to Karka. Keskes Barakama means we know for a fact that Reuben was the owner 20 years ago. We have no idea whether he's still the owner, but we know that he was once the owner. That's called Keskes Barakama. Who told you that means anything? Where does that register in halacha? Those are the biurim as to how it works. I want to know in Chazal. I live in the 1600s now, before the Kudus HaSvegas and before the Ketzos, the two brothers lived. So back in the 1600s, if I were to ask you this question, how do you know there's such a thing called Chesed Barakah? Like, where did, who said there's such a thing? What would you look for? So you're opening a Chesed Abatim, you're trying to figure out, what do we do? You haven't even read the Mishnah yet. You have no idea how to plant. You don't know what the planting seasons are. You don't understand the Tyson anyway. So you just want to know, Rabbi, what do I do? It's my word against your word. Muchzuk just failed us. So what's next? Chesed Barakah. Who told you that? Where'd you figure that one out from? I don't remember that in Baba Kama, the fifth parak. Tafakot is talking about Muchzuk. So it's based.
The Marakama means everybody agrees that he owned it.
You owned it once, right? You owned it at one time. So how do you know that means anything in halacha? So we all knew that was history. Today is 2021. Machpadi would happen in 1926. What? You give me lumdus. I want a Gemara that says that it exists. You're telling me once I know it exists. You can tell me Shtikul Torah how it exists. I want to know what V-State that exists. So it's only one line in a Gemara. You have to learn every line in the Gemara, because behind any given line in the Gemara are pearls of wisdom. It's a one kasha in the Gemara, in Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Hamachlif par b'chamor, I trading you a cow for a donkey. And whenever you have a chalipin, so as long as I do a kinyan on one of them, so the minute I do a kinyan on A, you automatically come to B. You don't have to pick up B, just move on to Elov. That's what chalipin means. Chalipin shavu b'shavu. So I'm kind of the par, and you're kind of the chamor, same time. And all of a sudden, what do we realize? Mazel tov. The cow, Shoyin gave birth to a calf. So the Baal, the original Baal HaPar claims it must have given birth before the sale, and therefore the calf, I didn't say the calf, I sold it to the calf, it's my calf. And the new owner of the Baal HaPar says, no, what do you mean? It gave birth afterwards, so it's mine. My animal gave birth, so it's my calf. So what does the Mishnah say? Yechloiku. Mishnah of Kufa Menalf, right? No one remembers that we talked about this back in Tfisach philosophic days, back in the base. The Mishnah says in Babitzi Davkov, Yachloiku. So, effectively, what Yachloiku? Who remembers the Gemara's Kash? Come on, you got it. This is the Gemara. If I wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you have to know this Gemara. Mamish. There are a bunch of Gemara's you have to know just no matter what. No matter where you go in life, this you have to know. So, the Gemara.
Asks,
so the Gemara says, what kind of Yachloiku? Just see where the calf is. The calf said, Barishas and Yurishas. And I'm Bechbin and Muchzuk. Says Gemara, no. Bemeris Biagam. It's out in the field somewhere. I'm not mostly good at Muslim. Frek the Gemara, and here's the billion-dollar question. Frek the Gemara. Okay, there's no Muchzuk. Let's see who used to own the cow. We know who used to own the cow. The old owner of the cow used to own the cow. So what's the Gemara's question mean? What's linked to the Gemara's question? This is Ches Markam. This is the Gemara. This is the line. Let's go back to the original owner, Ches Markam. What's the Gemara telling us? Gemara, you say, the Gemara is telling us that two chidushim, that the halacha recognizes Ches Markam, but even though it recognizes it, it understands and appreciates that it fails in comparison to what? To Muchzuk. Because remember, the first question the Gemara was Mufsak. And Imtim Tzuloymar, that the cow and the calf would now be in the Rishus of the new owner, the fact that it used to be the old owner is irrelevant. So it's clear for the two questions of the Gemara, the order, the sequence of questions, the Gemara first asked Atz Mufsak, and then when Mufsak failed us, then we switched gears, switched teams to ask the Chesbar Kama. So you see clear from Mitzia Davkuf that the number one, the top of the line, is Mufsak. Second tier question is Chesas Bar Kama. And to which the Gemara said, no, this Mishnah Sumchas and Sumchas Bar Kama, the Sumchas Bar Kama, the Sumchas Bar Kama, the Sheba, the Yach, the Rambam, forget the, not relevant for us right now. All that's relevant was the two questions of the Gemara, and you see, claw for the Gemara, there exists such a thing called Chesas Bar Kama. So now you guys can start to think, oh, now that we know this Chesas Bar Kama, Menoha Milsa Diyam Rabbanan Azlina Basa Chesas Bar Kama. I just made up that question. The Gemara never asked that question. So the Tzais and his brother decided to ask that question. The Gemara asked the question, Menoha Milsa Yifal Muxo. That's the Gemara in the Sefer Baba Kama. Either a Pasuk, we bowed to Ram Yigash, or Lam Likor Svaru. So Kump the Tzais and his brother, Hakurzah Svekis, and now wake up at the end of the 1700s and say, oh, by golly, now that we discovered Rabbi Tzia Dafkuf, they both realize there's Gemara in Rabbi Tzia Dafkuf that accepts Chesas Bar Kama. Menoha Milsa, where does it come from? So now they have two divergent views. Where does it come from? So the Shehelik Hashem Shmaitzot Gezoch, the Tzai said, it's based on who? Cheskes what? Chazoch HaMekar of the wall, that's the same as the Yidin Yisim Hether, and his brother said he's not so sure that's right. Maybe he's right, but he doesn't think his brother's right. He thinks it's a subcategory of Muxuk. It's like a Muxuk also. It's like a lower level Muxuk. Second tier Muxuk. Remember that Machlekes, because it's going to hopefully keep on coming back to us during the course of Chesedah. So, we thought that following Chesas Bar Kama is like once in a million year Shiloh. Because Ruben to Ruben the time we could have a Muxuk. So Chesas Bar Kama is going to fail us anyway, right? So we thought, that's why no one here remembered it even exists. Because if you forgot Bar Mitzia Daf Kuf, so you don't even know it exists. Since when do we have a Paschal Shiloh based on Chesas Bar Kama? What's the answer? When do we Paschal Shiloh based on Chesas Bar Kama? I'll tell you when. You know when? Any and every case of what? Chesas Bar Kama always exists when Muxuk fails us. If Bar Mitzia Daf Kuf Muxuk failed us because the cow happened to be in the meadow, it was out in the fields. Give me a more down to earth, no pun intended, case where Muxuk fails us. What? With any and every din Torah about Karka, Muxuk fails us. Because there's no such thing as Muxuk and Karka. Because you don't hold on to the karka. You're sitting on the karka. You're not holding on to the karka. So it started out as a crazy one in a billion chances that a cow gave birth out in the field and there's no cheskes marakama. That discussion of the Gemara, there's no muchzak, and therefore nebuch, you fall back cheskes marakama. That is not just the once in a million times. That is the opening words of chesabat that don't appear in the Mishnah. That's the given of chesabat. The whole perek is working with that assumption. Once you start to learn two, three blot into the story, every Gemara starts out the same story. My boy is behind Aaron, my boy is behind Basin. The only thing that changes is whether it's a din Torah about a house or a field. Otherwise, it's every sugya starts out the same. What are you doing in my field? What are you doing in my house? What are you doing in my house? What are you doing in my field? And they start to fight. So the winner will always be who? The Chesed Bar Kama. Because that is the A, B, that's the B of Din HaMamonos. The A of Din HaMamonos is Muxuk. But Muxuk doesn't exist, either because like the quirk and Bar Mitzia Daf Kuf, the animals in the field, or the real case of 99% of Dinei Torah and Karka, there's no Muxuk to speak of. So Chesed Bar Kama always carried the day. Before you open up the third Perek of Bava Basra, you have to know that. If you don't know that, then you miss the whole Perek. Now the Perek begins. Now the Perek says, okay, is there anything under the sun that can actually tilt the balance in the favor of the non-Marakama? Can the other fellow have anything on his side that could potentially win this Din Torah? And that's what Mishnah says, yes. If you have what's called Cheskas Habatim, if you have been living on this land, enjoying the land, eating the fruits of the land, or if there are no fruits per se, you've been living in the house, enjoying the house. Or if it's a boar, you've been using the boar. You've been using the shiach, the ma'aras, the shevchas, the mechatzos, the beis abad, the beis ashlochin. All of the above, you've been using them for a long period of time. How long is a long period of time? 3 years, Chesed Gimushanim, that all of a sudden, hocus pocus, gives you the upper hand of the Din Torah. And now, you don't even have to prove that this land is actually yours. Because if you were able to prove it, then we wouldn't be wasting time looking for Chesed Gimushanim. If you had proof, proof could be either to aid them, or you could have a Shtar Bechir, or something. You don't have any proof. So you should have lost the Din Torah, because the other fellow's Chesed Bar Kama, Tzayis and his brother, why that works, but it works. Comes the Mishnah and says something trumps Chesed Bar Kama, that's Chesed Gimushanim. That's the theme of the entire first Mishnah, Chesed Batim. And it's that the Gemara says, where did that come from? Menonim Mili. Now, if you're expecting a pasuk in Chumash that says, "Vedav Hashem Oshalem Bar Kishata Dar VeBayish Aruhu VeGibul Shanim," I thought, Tratzech that Din Torah, you're looking for a different Chumash. Okay, so it's not going to say that. The Torah doesn't talk about the topic bechlal. So now we're in the third chenek of Torah Shabbat, where we have to mamish turn the Torah upside down. Hafochba the kulubo. We have to search from high to low to find some indication of the Torah as to some kind of a potential source for this idea of Chesed Gimushanim. And that's where the first Gemara starts. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shamati Meholchei Usha. I heard from the people who traveled to Usha. Now, when you first read this Gemara, and you don't bother looking at Rashi, it's still Rashi here. It's going to become the Rashbam in about a daf or so. Who do you think the Holchei Usha were? You get this impression that there's this town of Usha somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, a bunch of guys were going on a teal, these guys with backpacks, and they were just kind of shooting the breeze a little bit on the bus about this topic, and they had something interesting to say. Rabbi Yochanan's listening to them. Yes, Holchei Usha means based on Gadol. This is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the first generation of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, the one him and his Talmidim wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi. This is Rabbi Yochanan who beats Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. You're talking serious stuff here. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't listening to a bunch of Shiva guys, schmoozing on a Ben Azmanim trip or something. The Beis in a Gadol with the Holchei Usha. And this is what they said. To pay attention, the Holchei Usha talking. Minayim lechazak gimushanim. What's the source? We're getting weird after a pasuk. Mishur hamuad. Last we checked, we were learning Bava Basra, not Bava Kama. But okay, we'll go along with it. Masha Amuah came to give him a gichas. Nafkli mechas a tam become mechas kismuah. Hakanam became the akhla to Lashon and Nafkla Mishas Mech become the Mishas Lakeach. I'm just baffled by what the whole Kushu said. Let me tell you where this whole Sugya came. Let me tell you where the next 6 months of Shia are going to come from. They come from Bava Kama days. Back in the Frida Gedeiras, last man, Yeshiva learned Bava Kama, Zavta Olchei Usha. So we remember there was a parish of Shamuad. An animal gores three times and a lot of things change. Who remembers the Chazar Bava Kama days? What changes at the three times? First of all, you pay Nezek Shalim instead of Chatzi Nezek. In addition, the owner has to pay Kofar if he kills somebody. It really was Chai Bisa from the first gore, but the animal got loose or something. We didn't get quite kill him yet. By the time he kills the fourth time, the Baal has to pay kofar now. So there are a lot of changes from Shotam to Shomuah. And everything changed, the magic number three. Once ties three times in a row, three strikes in a row. So the magic number three, that transforms an animal from being a Shotam to being a Shomuah with all the subsequent changes. So too, after 3 years, again, the only similarity so far was number three. If the 3 years, the field no longer is in the Rishus of the Meicher, now it's in the Rishus of the Lakeach, who we don't know whether he is a Lakeach, that's the problem. We have no, he claims he's a Lakeach. Because let's not forget, there is a Chesed Bar Kama. We know who used to own the field. Let me just get the close the exact, just close over there. We know who used to own the field, but that's the case. So there was a Chesed Bar Kama. So now, the supposed lokech is claiming I bought the field from you. So all of a sudden, if the number three has been satisfied, so then we're comfortable to say, three has happened, everything's changed, and now it belongs to the supposed new guy against the Chesed Bar Kama. That's the source for Chesed Bar Kama, from Shomuel. Who here is baffled? I don't remember much the Chachma Yusha, but I'll tell you like this. If I was sitting in the Beis Medrash, and one of you guys would have come up to me and said, Rabbi, I got a great source for Chesed Moshanim. It must have something to do with Shaham Wood. That's like a five-year-old talking. Like, because you remember the number three, so that was the number three. Come on. I mean, I wouldn't call you a five-year-old, but I'd say, no, you know, it's a good, I would probably say, well, it's an interesting idea. Maybe somebody suggests that, and I immediately change the topic, not to embarrass you. And Rabbi Yechon says, Shema'at b'chiyusha, don't say something to b'chiyusha. And the Gemara doesn't even question them. All the Gemara questions are some of the details. The Gemara like totally ignores the most obvious, blatant strangeness of what they said, and says, no, wait, we got it. It's perfect sense. No problems with it. Hetter totally understood what the whole Chiyusha said. The only thing is, we're not quite sure, why did it stop? Why did the buck stop at three? It should really need 4 years. You know why? Because Shom Mu'ad, when does the Shom Mu'ad really pay full damage? The fourth Negicha. So just as the Shom Mu'ad doesn't really pay until the fourth Negicha, we really shouldn't declare Chesed Sabbatim until 4 years. That was all the Gemara could ask. That was the best kasha that Chazal could come up with against Ocha Yusha. And he says, no, that's not such a good kasha. You know why? Because Salam de Shaderitz, be Karon, after three times, is really Shomud already. The transformation already occurred. Salam de Shaderitz, and you know why he haven't paid yet? Because he hasn't done anything yet. But he's a Shomud. He wears the hat of a Shomud already now. We already painted him as a Shomud in our minds. To be determined if and when he's Mazi again, he's going to pay four times. So the real magic is not four. The magic is three. Four is a technicality, the Gemara says, but the magic is three. And therefore, once the magical number of three has been reached, 3 years, oh, because they reshuffle 3 to 3. So hocus pocus, 3 years have passed, the chazak has changed, everything's tilting in the direction of the supposed lekeach, and now the Mishnah makes perfect sense. Baruch Hashem, we breathe a sigh of relief. So comes Tosfos and poses a question, the Shachar Tyre, the Gemara, that at least begins to speak to us. Tosfos was probably also smiling, the same way we're smiling. And they said, come on. So what's going on here? The Gemara was real. Yochai Husha meant this? There's a custom, there's a paradigm, don't get any cash. There's no of this. My Indian say it's all there. So Tosfos, in between the lines, Tosfos says, the bottom Tosfos, Tema Alri. To my parach, why think about Shepherd on the number three versus the number four? Hahochi Yalef Bishramud. Obviously, what the Hochi Yusha must have meant is not this bizarre comparison to Shramud, which makes no sense. What they must have meant is like this. Mahosam Huchsuk Nagchun Sholosh B'Amim. Hachinami Huchsuk Shaskun B'Sholoshonim. All of a sudden, Tosfos throws something into the mix here. Tosfos says, the Gemara didn't mean Gezeiras HaKosos from Shomuz or the Shomuz. The Gemara must have meant this as follows. The Torah is telling us something very deep about three. Three is almost like a pattern. Three is telling us something happens once, something happens twice, something happens three times. You can assume that something is really happening. You know, a quirk happens once in a blue moon, something happens. But it happens once, happens again. It's like Nochamal. The parasha from Shohamuat, says Tosfos, is teaching us that we are trying to make an educated guess about something we really know nothing about. Why do some Shvarim pay Chatzin Nezik and some pay Nezik Shalom? Why is that? So the difference is that tame Shvarim require very, very little Shmira. And I personally don't own a shore, but I've had a nice, calm shore. So I'm held to a certain degree of responsibility. But I don't have to go crazy and turn the world upside down because it's unlikely it's going to go anybody. But if I had Ruach HaKodesh, or the veterinarian would come and tell me, listen, you know, the shore psychologist would tell me, listen, we just did an evaluation of the shore. The shore is crazy. This is a nutcase. All right, this shore is just out to do damage. So then, obviously, I have to take that more seriously. I mean, that's like common sense. So what the Torah is telling us is that we don't have PhDs in shore psychology. Most of us don't have Ruach HaKodesh, myself included. And therefore, how would we even make an educated guess whether my shore requires that extra tipul or not? So what's the Torah telling me? Let's watch and see. The starting point is, it's probably calm. Moshe Baruch really are b'chez kishim okay. Moshe Baruch probably okay. I don't have to turn the world. I mean, if I take the animal and have it run around crazy, but you know, keep it on the leash, keep it behind the fence, you know, do basic normal care for the shore. And if a crazy mishundika thing happens, it's not really my fault. And therefore the Torah is not going to come down too hard on me. But if I know that my shore is crazy, I have to act differently. And if I don't, I'm going to be held much higher level of responsibility. How do I know that? It gored once. Then it gored again. Then it gored a third time. You can't hide behind, this is such a nice, it's such a nice little shore. It never meant to hurt anybody. No, it's not. It's a miserable, lousy, crazy bull. What do you mean? It's not a nice little baby. It's a mishugana. And if you don't tie it up, and you don't keep it behind the fence, and you don't be more careful with it, we're going to slap you with Nezek Shalom. And if it kills somebody for the fourth time, you're going to have to chayv kaiser. So the goal of three, the magic number three, is simply a way to be machzik that something is happening here. There's some psychology that it's happening. Says Tosfos, it's clearly that's the nekuda that Chazal were aiming on. We know that this field, this house, used to belong to Reuven. And now Shimon's claiming that he bought the field. What possible proof could Shimon bring to that? It would be nice if he had a shtar, but he doesn't. It would be nice if he had Aiden, but he doesn't. What, if any kind of a proof, could Shimon bring that he really, truly bought the field? Again, if he can't bring a proof, then Reuven's going to win based on Chesed Markama. So it's a love haraya. Shimon's got to bring a proof. Anyone, give me an idea of a kind of a proof that Shimon could bring. Well, there is Chesed Markama. It was Chesed Markama. We know 20 years ago it belonged to Reuven.
Possessing it adversely
to Shimon every day walks into the house, sits in the front yard, his kids are on the swing set, Reuven lives across the street and didn't say a word. It happened once. The fact that Reuven didn't say a word the first time, is that a raya brura that he sold the field? He sold the house? No, Reuven could be, you know, listen, I'm not an Ishmach like this, I don't want to make a fight, you know, it's a Saras Mechuva, I'm not going to solve it. What happens the next day? It happens again. Nochamo. Reuven doesn't open up his mouth. Why? Reuven, he was busy with some business deal, right? He didn't have any time to fight with Shimon. We'll get to Shimon tomorrow. It's the third time. One whole year goes by. We can explain. Reuven's having a tough time in business. He has other issues on his plate. You know, he's not making a fuss. Another year goes by. You see a guy in your house. Four seasons. The guy's enjoying, you're swimming in your swimming pool, he's building snowmen on your front lawn, he's living there for an entire second year, and you open up your mouth. You know what? It could be. I'm busy. I'm learning about Basra now. I don't have time to go bring to court. I don't have money right now. I'm making a chasana. Nochamo. Three times it happened. 3 years in a row. The guy built a snowman and he went to the pool and he's sitting out and he's raking the leaves and he's enjoying himself. He brought his cousins every Thanksgiving dinner in the backyard. Everything. 3 years in a row. We can suspect now there's a reason why he didn't make a fuss. You know why he didn't make a fuss? Because you probably sold it. And that's exactly what Shimon's time is. He sold to me. Cheskes Habatim is simply based on trying to establish beyond a reasonable doubt that Reuven is being shosek. Probably his shtik is an indication of something. That's what Hochi Usha meant. Hochi Usha didn't mean to say Cheskes Habatim is the same as Shomuot. It's a joke. What does it have to do with Shomuot? One's an ox, one's a house. The Yesod HaDover, the Amkus HaDvarim of the Hochi Usha was that you see that the Torah accepts that psychological truth that when something repeats itself time and time again, that's indicative of something. And the number the Torah puts on is three. Once, that's a quirk. Twice, it's a bloop on the radar. So three times in a row. So just as three times in a row proves to us about the nature of the shore and therefore ups the ante in terms of the Nezek, three times proves to us that Reuven was shosik, not because he's making the chas, not because he's busy, because he's learning Daf Yomi. He didn't make a macha, you know why? Because honest to goodness, he sold the field to Shimon 3 years ago. That was the limud from Shohamud. All of a sudden, the Hoch Yusha, being exonerated. That's a great limud. He's a lot of stuff. You have to be Hoch Yusha. You got to be reverence that head to figure that out. You guys look Mishpat, did you guys figure that out? That's why you have to be Hoch Yusha for that one. So Tai says, wait a second. If that's clearly, there's no other way to learn Hoch Yusha. If that's what they meant, so then Tai begins to analyze. So why did the Gemara start shepherding them with three and four and the numbers, all the kasha, the shakmatai, the Gemara doesn't seem to fit if that's what they meant. So Taisha starts up by saying, of course that's what they meant. Because if they meant anything else, it would have been, make no sense. There's the only way to explain Hoch Yusha. So Taisha says, let's see and test our theory in the shakmatai, the Gemara, from the Shem tomorrow. We try to understand what the Hoch Yusha did or did not say. Okay, that's a wrong question.